As we begin this morning, I want to summarize where we are and where we've been lately in this Romans chapter 6. And here Paul is discussing what it means to be justified by faith in Jesus Christ. He's been discussing living as a sinner saved by grace. Living as justified while at the same time living in a world that's filled with sin and how to deal with our own temptations and our own sin. So to capture this idea, in the first 10 verses of Romans 6, Paul uses this analogy of death and life. And in the first section, what he essentially said was, now that you've believed the gospel, you're dead to sin and alive to Christ. He said that you're united with Christ in baptism. You're united to Jesus in his death and in his life. Then Paul moves on, and in verses 11 through 15, he talks about sin reigning or Christ reigning in our lives, as if it were in one or the other kingdom. Now Christ reigns in our life, so sin no longer reigns. Serve Christ, he is your master, not sin. Then in verse 16, he moves on and uses an analogy of slavery. He said in verse 16 that essentially we have two choices. Either we offer ourselves as slaves to sin, or we offer ourselves as slaves to righteousness. That's where we've been. Okay? Today, we're going to look at the last few verses of chapter 6. In these verses, Paul's going to tell us why. Why should we offer ourselves as slaves to righteousness rather than as slaves to sin? Why should we? I mean, after all, we're saved, right? We're justified, right? Well, we're going to look at the answer to that question this morning. First, I want to start with a word of prayer before I read God's word. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word this morning, we ask, Lord, that you soften our hearts. You help us to see you in your word. We pray, Lord, that you show us yourself even more magnificent than ever before. Father, may your Holy Spirit fill each of our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that once you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You've been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity, to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you've been set free from sin and have been slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Last week, you may remember, we said that if you've responded to the gospel, that is, if you have been justified by faith, the gospel did something to you, right? We said that the Christian life is summed up by who you were, what happened, and who you've become. You were a sinner, then Jesus issued a command to you personally through the gospel. He called you to believe. He called your dead heart to life. He freed you from sin, and you are no longer who you were. You were made new. Even if the story ended there, it would be awesome, right? There's no other religion. There's no other self-help program out there. There's no system of better living that takes someone like a sinner condemned to hell, changes their heart, and brings them into eternal life. There's no other method. There's no other system that can raise the dead to life. There's no other way to be free of the bondage of sin than the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is the only way to be saved. And even if that story ended there, it would still be worth telling. Even if that was all there was, you would have received a great gift. But see, Christ doesn't leave you there. He doesn't leave you there. Christ walks with you. As long as you're on the earth, as long as you still struggle and wrestle with sin, it is through the gospel that God is making you into a person who is more like Christ. So now the question of who you were, what happened, and who you have become is now more of a question of who are you? What is happening? And who are you becoming? We're making a switch. We're making the switch from looking back to looking forward. Now, looking back is good. Looking back is important. Looking back is what drives us forward. What drives us forward is looking back on who we were and how Christ saved us. It's what drives our love for Christ, right? 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. So even our looking forward is kind of rooted in our looking back. So let's take a look at those things one at a time with some verses. We're going to start with this. Who are you? And I'm just going to stick to Romans 6 and just look at who we are in Romans 6. Okay, first off, in Romans 6, we're dead to sin. Look at this. Paul says we're dead to sin, and look at all these verses. 2. Again in 3. 4. 5. 6. And 7. We're dead to sin. And then he talks about Christ in verses 8, 9, and 10. Then again, he goes back to us being dead in sin again, or dead to sin again, in verse 11, in verse 12, in verse 13. Not only does Paul say we're dead in sin, but then he also says we're no longer slaves to sin. In these verses, Paul says we're no longer slaves to sin. That's verses 14, verses 16, verses 17, verses 18. Verses 19, verses 20, verses 21, and 22. Do you notice anything here? There's 23 verses in Romans chapter 6. In almost every one of those verses in Romans chapter 6, we're either set free from sin or we're dead to sin. 17 of the 23 verses, Paul says we're dead to sin or set free from sin. There's two other verses in verses 1 and 15 where Paul asks a question. And they're both the same question. Can we keep on sinning? And Paul answers, well, certainly not. There's 17 verses out of the 23 saying we're dead from sin. There's two asking if we can keep sinning. There's only 4 verses left out of that whole chapter. Guess who's the subject of those 4 verses? It's Christ. It's Christ. It's what Christ has done for us. Christ is in the center of this chapter in verses 8, in verses 9, in verses 10. And then he is in the closing verse again in verse 23. See, what is happening to us? The gospel is happening to us. The gospel is still happening to us, even though it's what saved us. It's because we're united to Christ. He is still happening to us. Romans 6, 5. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly be also be united with him in a resurrection like his. We are united. That means now we're united. Look at those center verses. Now, if we died with Christ, if we believe that we will also live with him, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So what's happening to us? Well, let's just change that a little bit to what has Christ done? He's done the gospel. And even though it happened in the past, it still has an effect on us now. The gospel is still happening to us. Who we are becoming is still based on what Christ has done for us. You see that? So then the question becomes, who are we becoming? Well, at first glance, when you first kind of go through it, you start to say, well, we're being made alive. We're being set free. You are justified when you believe the gospel. When you believe the gospel, you are set free. You are made alive. Jesus already did that. That's not who you're becoming. That's who you are. So who are you becoming? Well, before I answer that question directly, I'm going to pause for a minute and take a look at why. After all, it's a sermon title, right? Why would I do that? Why? Let's ask this question. Why would Christ do this? I mean, really, think about it for a moment. Why would Jesus need any of us sinners for? Right? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He speaks and the seas calm. He can part waters. He places every star in the sky. What does he have need for sinners like us? But see, then Jesus created us. He created us exactly as we are. He created us with our flaws and our needs and our blemishes. And he created us fully knowing that we would sin. He created us fully knowing all the ways in which we would eventually reject him. Yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Even though we rejected him, he died for us. And see, he created us just as we are sinners. And when we reject him, he still goes to the cross. He saves us. He makes us alive and he rescues us. He sets us free from that bondage of sin, and he saves us. Why? He does it because he loves us. He makes us free because he loves us, because by doing that, he's drawing us into himself, you see. Not because we're so good, but because he is so good. He loves us because he is good. And since he loves us, he wants the absolute best for us. Don't we, even though we're sinners, want the best for those that we love? And since Christ is the most beautiful person in the universe, since God is the most supreme and most magnificent being in the universe, the best thing he could possibly give us is more of himself. The best thing he could possibly do for you is to draw you closer into a relationship with him. God is holy. Christ is holy. Holy means set apart. Holy means nothing else is like God. He is set apart. God is not in the universe. He is so much greater than the universe that he is set apart from the universe. It's like it says in the book of Isaiah, like we sang this morning. God isn't just holy. He is holy, holy. And even more than that, he is holy, holy, holy. And as we are made alive, and as we are set free from sin, as we are made as slaves to righteousness because he's doing it for us to be even closer to God or even more set apart to him or made holy. Romans 6:19. I'm using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. Offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. That's leading you closer and closer to the most supreme being in the universe. You are now free to pursue the best possible thing you can pursue, and that is holiness. You're being made holy. You're a slave to righteousness. Christ is setting you apart from an unrighteous world. You're being drawn away from the world and toward Christ. Do you notice how things are different? The same old haunts are no longer as fun anymore. The things that you thought were no fun suddenly start to have interest to you. Your heart starts to sing as you come to a prayer meeting. Your heart starts to sing as you come to a church group. Because you know what? There's nowhere you would rather be. Even when you turn on a movie with a Christian theme, it has a greater appeal than the darkness in the world. It's like the lyrics to that old hymn. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And all the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You're turning towards something better. You're turning towards something more magnificent. You're turning towards something more glorious. And the world is dimming in comparison. It's a funny thing, though. Because before you knew Christ, we think we're free, right? Before we know Christ, we thought we were free. I have my Sundays free. This is great. I'm free to go to the bar on Saturday night, and I don't have to get up. I'm free. I can have any kind of relationship I want. I'm free to spend my money any way I want. I'm free to do whatever. And we were free, in a sense. Romans 6:20 says, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. You were free from that boring Christian life, right? But what did it get you? What does it get us? Let's turn to the book of Ecclesiastes for a minute and see what it gets us. Ecclesiastes 2, 1 through 11. I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is madness. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, and my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. And I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks. I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. And I made reservoirs of water to grow flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in all of Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself, and the treasures of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers, a harem as well, delights of a man's heart. I became greater than far anyone in Jerusalem before me, and all this my wisdom stayed with me. I denied nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for my toil. Yet, when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. That freedom doesn't satisfy. It's meaningless. All those things are great. But ultimately, it's gone. Were you free? Maybe. But all those things, they fall short of the best. 100 years from now, what will matter how good your golf game is? 1,000 years from now, what will your house matter? When you've been there 10,000 years and your face is bright shining as the sun, will today's things matter? All of those things fall short. The greatest treasure. All of those things fall short of Jesus. So as you offer yourself as a slave to righteousness, you start to grow more and more set apart toward the greatest treasure of all, the treasure of Jesus Christ. Romans 6:21 says, "What benefit did you reap at the time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death." When we had that so-called freedom, what did it lead to? Did we end up doing the things we were ashamed of? Was our life here on earth satisfying and good? Or was it filled with regret? Was it filled with shame and guilt, broken relationships, lost love, discontent, emptiness, darkness, hatred, anger, and frustration? Those things are not of God. Those things are not of Christ. Why would we want them when we thought they were free? But see, those things enslaved us. Those things led us straight to the graveyard. Yeah, we were free. We were free for those few years of our lives, a handful of days compared to eternity. What freedom is that if it leads to death? Romans 6:22, but now you've been set free from sin. You have become slaves of God, and the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and that result is eternal life. The benefit in our new life leads to freedom, and it leads to holiness, and it leads to eternal life. And brothers and sisters, this is the greatest treasure of all. We should all be running with joy down the road to holiness. We should all be pursuing Christ relentlessly, because the greatest treasure of all awaits those who pursue Christ. You'll have peace with God. You'll have a peace that passes all understanding. You'll have unbelievable riches and glory, and they await those that pursue Christ. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death. That's not just the death we face when our bodies decay. That's the death is the second death from the book of Revelation. It's the lake of fire. The wages of sin is hell. It is eternal fire. But the free gift of God, the free gift of God is eternal life. And that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is set before us. We earned hell. That's our wage. We rejected God. We sinned. It was what we deserved. But God stepped in. God steps in and he loves us. And he's drawing us into this relationship with him. And he offers us this free gift of eternal life. And we receive this gift by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. By believing that when he died on the cross, he paid the price. When he died on the cross, he paid the wages of sin. By his death. But since Jesus had no sin himself, he could pay the price for you and me. And death could have no longer any mastery over him. No mastery over the God of the world. So 3 days later, Jesus rose victorious from the grave. He rose victorious over sin and death. And when we believe that, and when we turn from our sins, we are free to be slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness, leading to things eternal and forever, a far greater treasure than this world could ever offer. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. I'm going to ask Jane to sing, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." And for everyone here, God has made the offer. It's before you today. Life and death. Take this time now to turn your eyes upon Jesus. Pray silently. Turn from your sins and turn toward the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, we cannot thank you enough for the free gift of grace, the free gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Jesus, take our sins from us. Remove them. Set us free. Set us free to draw closer and closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will the ushers please come forward for our time of offering?